what the church really wanted to do was, again, to reaffirm and reassert what we call these essential truths of our faith. There's a theological principle known as differentiation of consciousness. And so concept holds us is that whatever is true for a believing community will find its expression as true in each subsequent community without and not in an anachronistic way. And so please come and sit down. No worries, right? Be comfortable here. Now that I just embarrassed you, right? That's the worst thing. If we were coming to church late, my mother would pinch us. I promise I won't pinch you, right? So what happens is that this sense of the Eucharist, this sense of God amongst us, is anew each and every time. For us as Catholics, we hold that by the mystery of transubstantiation, the accidents of bread and wine are transformed into the body and blood, soul, and divinity of Christ in many ways. And so, not in many ways, in that exact way. And so on this Feast of Corpus Christi, it was this time in the church when those who were Catholics were somehow demonstrating their belief to that to those who were members of the Reformation. And so there would be great processions. I remember in my parish, there would be a canopy that Monsignor would walk under, and with the ostentorium or the monstrance, and Tommy was in, and I were the therapists, and we would have to walk backwards, incensing the Blessed Sacrament, while the first and second graders kissed rose petals in front of us, and Donna Tabarelli kissed too many, and I fell and I landed on my back, right? So nobody seemed to stop for us in many ways, but it was a way for us to really begin to, as a faith-believing people, to see this God who dwells amongst us. Maybe in those moments of our ecclesial life, we highlighted a little too much the adoration factor of Christ, rather than the fact that this is Jesus who comes among us. This is Jesus who is one with us. This is Jesus who invites us, as we hear in the Gospel of John today, to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. Can you imagine hearing this from somebody who you knew, who you saw in the temple, who you knew his father was the carpenter from Nazareth, you knew his mother, you knew his cousin was John, and then all of a sudden he stands in your midst and he says, I am the bread of life. Jesus was a rabbi. He was very familiar with the scriptures and Deuteronomy, which means second book of the law, which is the law of God's love. He knew that, and he knew that manna came down from the desert, and he said, I am the bread come down from heaven. He knew exactly what he was saying. But can you imagine, Shock, if I stood in your midst today, and I said, today for communion, we're going to take bits of G and take, right? I mean, can you imagine the shock of that? So Jesus' message was a very difficult message to hear. He wasn't using it as a metaphor. In Greek, there's two words for body, soma, which is the more pleasant elements of our body, and sarx, which is all mostly unpleasant things. And Jesus used the word sarx. And so he said, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you cannot have life within you. And so the church uses this particular scriptural reference and on Holy Thursday, what Jesus did with his disciples, to develop a theology that says when we come here for the Eucharist, we are not doing something new. We are entering into the one sacrifice of Calvary that was for all time. And we as the people of God are united by that tremendous act of love that Christ did on Calvary for us. We heard in the second reading from St. Paul how Christ brings us all as one and together, right? And then later in Galatians we hear how there's no Jew or Greek, no male or female, no slave or free. And when it comes to God's love, we're all on level ground, each and every one of us. And we're drawn out in unity with God through this Eucharist here and through the sacraments of God's church. It's very timely, since many of you may have read in the paper or have seen some of the press about the American National Catholic Church in St. Francis being schismatic. And so I was thinking that this feast of the body and blood of Christ, which really celebrates the unity of all of us as we are as Christians, is really an unfortunate use by some of our brethren to call us that, because it's not true, right? And so so that as we come together here at St. Francis and we acknowledge the centrality of Christ in our life and part of his fulfillment of his promise to not leave us orphans in the Eucharist, we can take great comfort in the fact that we enter fully into the experience of God's love and are drawn together as one people by his love, right? And so as we get together. And I was thinking too that this Feast of Corpus Christi in which we I feel I was saying to Ken and Maurice that I feel like a sheepdog. That Philip's profession of vows. Allison read the sequence for us. The sequence we hear on Pentecost, we hear on the Feast of Corpus Christi, and one other time in the church. And the sequence is largely derived from St. Thomas Aquinas' hymn, Pange Lingua Gloriosa. The last two verses of that hymn are the Tantum Ergo, which most of us know as our second breath. And I think it's appropriate, as Brother Philip is a Dominican, and Thomas Aquinas was a Dominican, and his brother in the same order. So when this feast in which we are asked, like Christ, to pour out our lives for the church, we're going to witness Brother Philip saying his yes to God in a very profound way. The profession of religious vows is very much what we see in the other elements of the church. It is a reaffirmation of our baptismal promises. We say that in baptism we were consecrated to Christ, and so by that grace of the sacrament and the sacrament of the altar, all of the church's graces flow. Some of us, in determining our vocation, vocare, a call from God, determine that God has called us to a different form of life that is publicly vowed and a public witness to this act on Calvary and to the pouring out of oneself. And so as we gather today with Brother Philip to both renew his baptismal promises, let's renew our own, but also let us support him in our prayer as he makes his solemn profession of the vows of obedience, poverty, and chastity for the sake of God's kingdom. So let's continue in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.